Pastor Raphael, it's good to have you back from out of town. Glad the Lord kept you, watched over you. We'll just open our heart to the Lord ministers the word through our brother.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, I'm glad you believe it's good to have me back. So, it is good to be back. So I just I thank God for safe travels. I'll never take that for granted. And well, just to say, you are really special to Jesus in a unique way, and He loves the work of His Spirit. What He's causing, His aim, what He's causing you and I to become in Christ, both in our being and in our doing. So let me just pray again, and I want to talk to you about your life, your unique life that's hidden with Christ in God. Well, Father, we just thank you for your truth. Thank you for your word that gives clarity about you and about us in you, and your plans, that you've called us into your plan of redemption to be saved, and God, to use us in bringing salvation to other people through prayer and through the word and evangelism. Lord, I just ask you to make this more real to us. No matter where we are, no matter how much we've already apprehended of you and us in you, Lord, that you will inspire us according to the light that you've been revealing to us to step out into, up into. And I thank you for the prophetic ministry. Lord, that you would just lead by your Spirit. Lord, at the conclusion of this message and what you know needs to be done tonight, I ask you for the spirit of encouragement. I ask you for the gift of a prophecy, Lord, to shed light, to encourage, to affirm sonship, purpose, identity, destiny. Lord, that you'd move by the power of your Spirit tonight to destroy lives of the enemy. His works would be trampled, would be cast down. That you would illuminate. Thank you for the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord, of might, of wisdom, of understanding, of power, and of love. That you are for us. Your kingdom come. In Jesus' name, amen. And I just want to, the Lord's just encouraging us to reach forth to live and walk in the new dynamic you in Christ. So if you have your Bible, you can look at Colossians chapter 3. That's our power truth tonight. It's something that has really propelled me forward years ago. Y'all do remember the story when Jesus came to the woman at the well. And we know that Jesus is the Word that was manifest. So when Jesus encountered this woman, she was encountering the Word of God. And encountering the Word of God, what he was sharing, stirred a hunger in that woman who said, "Give me this water." So one of the purposes of the Word is to stir us up to ask God to give to us what he came to give us. So whether it's being filled with the Holy Spirit or it's knowing your identity in him. And so that's what this word did to me years ago. It stirred something up that said, I want to know that. So Colossians 3 begins with, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. So that things above encompasses a lot of things. And we learned that, you know, when you're saved, in Ephesians 2, we've learned that we were raised together with Christ. But that was after we were made alive together. So you can remember when you were saved, or if you were saved at a very young age, you were still enlightened a little bit or a lot. But we hear some people when they're saved, they were just, the lights were turned on. They were made extremely alive to God. Me, my walk, it was like a progressive being made alive. Can anyone relate to that? You know, you were just raised up there. But thank God we were made alive. And so we were made alive together with Christ and are being united together with him. And so we were made, we were raised up together with him, and we were made to sit together with Christ in the heavenly places. So we may not understand that in its entirety, but it's the truth. It's in the word. So in essence, in spirit and in truth, as far as God's concerned, and now it becomes, as far as I'm concerned, that I am seated together with Christ in the heavenly places. So I had a unique experience that when I was in intercession, the power of God, it was a sweet move and of where the Holy Spirit was making intercession. And I call it flash visions. But I was made aware in that moment, and I was granted to see myself in spirit. My spirit's still here in the heavenly places. And it was, I came off the throne sitting with Christ. I came off of that place, turned around, and was just interceding by the power of the Spirit. And I saw that. I didn't make that up. It was just granted to me. And I was like, wow. And Ephesians 2 came to my mind. I was seated with Christ in many places. So a lot of times, excuse me, when I'm praying, you know, I can just see myself there in spirit. I am actually there, and I am praying to the Father. And there's a Son sitting at the right hand, which would be at my left. It's just a beautiful thing. I don't see that all the time. I don't imagine all the time, but it's true. So I'm seated. You are seated together with Christ in heavenly places. So when it says in Colossians 3:1, if then you were raised with Christ. See, as we learned in CLF the other night, a couple weeks ago, everything about us now is based on that premises. You're raised together with Christ. So because he died on the cross and was raised, Romans 6 tells us that we were united together in the likeness of his death. So also, we're in the likeness of his resurrection. So that means we've been raised up out of our sins, raised up out of our past. That means the old doesn't define us anymore. That means everything in the heavenly places is our new definition about us, who we are in him. Everything. That's why you get to Colossians 3:1, and the whole premises of Colossians 3 and about living the character of godliness and all of that is based on the fact that you've been raised with Christ, seated with him in heavenly places. That's why it says, if then you were raised. It could say, if then you were saved. If you were born again, if you were really born again, then seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. So every time you get into the word and you're in seeking mode, you're seeking what's above, because the word is from above. When you want to know Christ, he's from above. When you want to know the Holy Spirit more, he's from above. Seek those things. We're going to go even a little more personal here about you. The real you that's seated with Christ in the heavenly places. That's why verse 2 goes on to say, set your mind, set your affection, set your love. And you've got to do it. You've got to take your love, and you have to make a choice to set it on things above. So if I just examine my life just for the past week, how much did I set my mind on earthly things and not on things above? And it does affect us. Whatever you sow, that's what you reap. So we're called to, because you've been raised with Christ, because that's your dwelling place. And you're His dwelling place. Remember, in Him we live and move. So look, He said, we've come to make our home in you. So now, the other is true too. God says, in you I live, move, and have my being. I want to have my being in and through you. And yes, we fall short of that. We fall short of God's glory. We fall short of that ideal. But God doesn't want us thinking about how many times we fall short. Because that's not what He sees. Remember, He sees the end from the beginning. So set your mind and your love, your affection on things above. And then you get to verse 3, and this is really the life-changing scripture for me. For you died, and your life, the real you, is hidden with Christ in God. And there's a beautiful promise attached to all of that reality. Verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, appears. He is appearing. It's not a fairy tale. When Christ, who is our life. And you can tell if Jesus is somebody's life or if it's football. You know, or if it's Xbox or if it's whatever it is. But you can tell whether it's even just good things that aren't sinful things or if it's sinful things. Sometimes you can just go up to somebody and say, hey, what's your passion in life? And, well, it can just come out like that. And this verse is saying to those who Christ is their life, when Christ, who is your life? It's a good question to ask yourself. Really, who is my life? So even in my marriage, Christ needs to be my life. There's no nationalities, so to speak. There's no Italians and all Chinese and all of that stuff. When in reality, we know there is here on the earth. And He's after all the nations. But in reality, in the same chapter here, it says there is neither barbarian, Scythian, bond, nor free. But Christ is all and in all. That's what it's really about. We are one body. Christ is all. And that means Christ needs to be everything about me. Even my marriage, I am to love Rhonda as Christ loved the church. She is to be submissive in a sense as the church is submissive to Christ. See, Christ is all. He is our perfect paradigm in all things. Come on. He really is. So when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Isn't that a beautiful, precious promise? Amen. So we go back to verse 3. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. That's our power truth tonight. When I read that, you know, I was in my late teens, early 20s, and something just illuminated me. I know it was the Holy Spirit using the word, created a desire. And I just said, that's the life, Father, that I want to know. So in essence, you know, I'm down here, and in the heavenly places, there's my hidden life right up there. There's, you know, I can't see it too well. But from God's point of view, that's the Raphael. And He sees the complete picture. And that's the life that's hidden with Christ. That's the one I want to tap into, become, and walk out. So, you know, since then, I've realized that there are several lives Christians can live out or are living out. Their own Christian life, the way they think it should be. The life others think it should be. The life a denomination portrays it to be. or the life that God wants and has purposed it to be, the one that's hidden in Christ, ready to be revealed? What life do you want to live? What life do you want to know about you, your identity, your purpose? True identity and true purpose and true destiny is found as we come to know Jesus' identity, his purpose and his destiny, because Christ is all and in all. So as I come in line and with greater clarity of the identity of Jesus, then I will come in line with my identity. His purpose becomes my purpose. And I know he had a different purpose here on the earth, but it was to bring me into his overall plan and purpose. Amen? So let me say it like this. God is at work showing you, producing in you, and bringing out through you by his Spirit and Word, who and what he already sees you to be from his finished product. Some artists start painting without knowing what the picture is going to look like, and it comes out pretty nice, some of them. Others, they like to start out, that didn't come out too good. They just start doodling or drawing or painting and see what we come up with. And it's neat under inspiration of the Holy Spirit what those paintings turn out to be. That's really cool. And but some painters start painting with the whole picture already in their mind. I know, I can see it, and they start drawing it or painting it. What the picture is going to look like, they know that when it's done. And so it is with God. He is progressively working in and through you from his perspective of a completed picture already done in his mind, in his eyes, what he already knows you're destined to be and do. Does that make sense? So this creative work has to do with both your being and your doing. If you would, you can look at Ephesians 4:13. So in God's mind, he already sees the finished product. And so everything he's doing on your behalf is towards that end, and this is his good pleasure. So while you're going there, let me just say it like this. As y'all know, you got a puzzle, and there's a finished picture of a puzzle, and they cut it out, and it's in puzzle pieces. Then they take it all apart, put it in a box, and you got to put it back together. So if you would, just picture a puzzle up there on that screen, and you see that image right there. And let's just put it in pieces of puzzle. So what we're going to do, though, is just put, you got the full picture this way. What we're going to do is double that, and so you have two pieces of the puzzle. So you have two puzzles, and they're all cut out the same way. And so God sees that. That's the finished product. So when God begins to work at you, it's almost, when he begins to fashion you as the potter and you're the vessel, as he begins to work in you, and he'll do it through circumstances, trials, temptations, or just even good times, challenging times. But whenever you encounter something, you're like, you know, you get frustrated, whatever, but it's there that God is conforming you into his image. So it has to do, you know, with Ike and Ngozi and your kids over there, and you're younger, and it starts as soon as people are saved. You know, they're working, but, you know, Vechi is a young person right here. It's like, what does he look like 10 years from now? Everybody say, whoa. Incredible young man. According to God's purpose and design, that's an incredible young man. Not even just 10 years. What if we just go 5 years from now? What about 3 years? What about just next year? What's he look like next year? God sees that. And the more we cooperate with God, then we're coming into more of the fullness of our being and doing. And it is a progressive thing. What did Pastor Don look like 45 years ago? And what kind of a man is he today? Well, I've known him a while, and I just see change, 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 change. Isn't that awesome? And that's how it's supposed to be. So let's just say you're dealing with a certain area. Even today, you're aware of something. But God's purpose is to take a part of that finished product And it's like a piece of that puzzle just flies off. And what he's doing, he's working it in you. It begins to be pressed upon you. And it's that part of the picture. Right now, I'm aware of three things, at least three, that God's working in me. And the way he does it is just phenomenal. You know, just on my trip, something happened, and it had to do with giving or something like that. And I got a little frustrated because there was a mental block in my mind, and so the giving was a little challenging for me, and I found that I gave, but it wasn't cheerful giving. And then I go back to the apartment that I'm staying, and I was up early in the morning and in Patrick and Lauren's place, and sitting at his desk and trying to be quiet. I was up early, and there's the Bible. A little book caught my attention underneath. I didn't see the title. I said, I wonder what this is, you know. And I pull it out, and the title of it is Generosity. You know, there was just the Lord. Hello. So I read that. I took some notes and put it in my phone because it's his book. And I'm like, this is good. See, frustrating moment. And God just took a piece of the puzzle of a finished product of what he wants to produce more in me, in my being more what? Generous. To see that more. Now, I can make all kinds of excuses. You know how we do. We justify ourselves. Hey, you know, I'm not that bad. You know, just put all that aside. You know, God's just saying, I want to produce more of this in you. Because I love this, I love that, but I also love a cheerful giver. And you want to tap more into his love, then you have to cultivate generosity in your life. And so, see, that's wherever you're at and whatever's going on, whenever you experience frustrating things, you know, God wants to increase more of the finished product of the real you that's hidden with Christ in God in you. And so he's taking a piece of that puzzle. And if we don't get that, we're missing it. And it's a lost lesson in that moment. So, you know, just like in the Olympics, you've heard me say this before, you get the bronze, silver, and gold. But, you know, in school, if you don't make any of those, they give you a certificate of participation. They're just being nice to you, you know. And so sometimes I go through things, and all God can give me is a certificate of, son, you participated, but there's no bronze in this. Not even a silver. You're definitely not getting a gold, and I know that. So it's really important is count it all joy when you fall into various trials, all kinds. Bam, it just happened. You're in it. Look, y'all, you don't have to worry about praying for patience, thinking that you're going to get trials. That's a myth in there, you know. Too many Christians say that. Don't pray for patience. You're going to get trials. I'm like, come on. You're going to get them. Whether you pray for patience or not, they're coming. And the design of it is to produce patience. And as you are patient through it, as you go to God, as you thought, God, what's the puzzle piece you're wanting to put in me now? My life, what are you producing in me? As you endure and go through it with God, it will produce the character that the trial you're in is designed to produce, as long as you let that trial have its perfect work. If you don't let it have its perfect work, we're going back through it. Just as time doesn't heal wounds, all old people would be healed by now. Neither does just because you go through a trial make you mature. The only way we mature through trials is if we go through it with God. How many of y'all know a lot of older people that have a lot of experience through trials, but they're still bitter? And they're cranky. It just comes out. But they got all the experience, and they look down at you with all this pride because they got all this experience. But you can tell they don't have the character because you see pride and arrogance and they're looking down at you instead of being moved with compassion. Come on, y'all wave at me when I'm preaching good, all right?
You see what I'm saying? And so as we go through these things with God, we will find his comfort. We will find whatever it is he's producing in us. And that makes us more prepared to minister to others the way he ministered to us. And we don't look down at them. We come alongside them. So as we let the trial that produces patience have its perfect work, we're becoming perfect, mature, lacking nothing. So the ideal is to be able to look through, look behind you after you've been through it, and to have a satisfaction that you went with it, through it, with God. You can tell, you can see your progress. And you're thankful because you couldn't have done it without him. But you see, with God, I can see what you're doing. It's important to see what God's doing. And he's not playing hide and seek. Because he's found by those who seek him. Does that make sense? And so we see that it's really important. And you're at Ephesians 4:13. I'm going to say this statement again. In God's mind, he already sees the finished product. And so everything he's doing on your behalf is towards that end. And this is his good pleasure. Though it might be painful, it's still his good pleasure in bringing us through it, what he's developing in us. So three scriptures bear that out. Ephesians 4:13. Till we all come to the unity of the faith. How many of us? Right. So anyone who's instigating disunity is out of alignment. And is not very pleasant to be with. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brothers and sisters, for Christ-like family to dwell together in unity. So I have to ask myself, how pleasant am I to be with? And that could be measured in, am I a promoter of unity or an instigator of disunity? So till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, there it is, to the knowledge. And so what we go through, he wants to bring us into a greater knowledge of the Son of God. This has to do with our being. This is God's good pleasure. Till we all come to a perfect, that means a mature man or a mature woman, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Verse 15. And part of the image of Christ is seen right here, speaking the truth in love. May grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. So when it says all things, that could be in the prophetic ministry. You grow up in how he would speak life to people. Yeah. Prophetic ministry is not just for telling future events. It speaks encouragement. So I've asked God tonight for a spirit of encouragement to be given to us, that people would be encouraged. Isn't that the heart of God? Amen. It sure is. So till we grow up in all things. So here's one of the things of Christ was his prayer life. Another thing was how he was with people. Another thing was when he was cornered or put on the spot and challenged. You can see how did he respond. And so it just covers every aspect of life. And so the finished product up there, those pieces to the puzzle, not all of them, but a lot of them have to do with us being conformed into his image. Romans 8:29, for whom he foreknew, he knew you would be saved. He predestined. The word means marked out ahead of time. That means he marked out that all who would be saved, he was going to be after one major thing in every son of his, every daughter. And that was, I'm going to begin to work to fashion them into the image of the ultimate image, my son. And that's what he's after. It's interesting. If you watch commercials and how they advertise a look, and you go driving on the road, you go to the mall, you say, man, I just saw that on the commercial. They just look like the commercial. You know what I'm saying? They're being conformed into this world's image. And so as Pastor was saying earlier, you know, it's just great. As we cooperate with God's plan and more of the finished product gets produced in us, more of the pieces of those puzzles are fashioned in us, they're going to be encountering the image of Christ. I love this. You know, Jesus said to one of the disciples, when he said, Lord, show us the Father and we're satisfied. You know, if I've been this long with you, Philip, and you still don't know him, whoever's seen me has seen the Father. So to me, it's true that if a guest comes here and is here for several months and just finally just, you know, y'all talking about Jesus so much. If I can just see him, I'll be satisfied. We should be able to say, have you been with us this long and you still don't know Jesus? For to see us, the body of Christ, is to see him. So no wonder we're to put off the old with all its yuck. That's why it says, stop being mean, bad-tempered, and angry. Quarreling, harsh words, and dislike of others should have no place in your life. Instead, Christ-like, piece of the puzzle, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God forgave you in Christ. Isn't that awesome? Look at Colossians 3, verse 9, talking about our being, the image, pieces of this puzzle. It's really cool, you know, because prophetic light. And you know when the prophet's in the house or when he's visiting, it's amazing how many Christians will flood there. Just speak to me, and there's pure desire and all of that. Just tell me, prophesy. You know, what am I going to be like here? And that is good, and it's very important. And a lot of times you'll get an end picture of this and that, but equally, if not, I would just say more important, is Colossians 3, the character of Christ. When I went to Kansas City, God gave me a word for a young man there, and it had to do with be very diligent. He has a huge call in his life. The Lord helped me to see that. I said, you have to be very diligent in your quiet time with God, your personal time, because your doing needs to flow out of your being with him. Keep first love. Major on godly character because you're going to need it for your big call. It's going to keep you on course. And that's up to him to heed that. That's really important. Colossians 3 has a lot to do with your character. Look at verse 9. Do not lie to one another. Since you've put off the old man with his deeds, or the old woman with her deeds. You know, it just doesn't gel with your new life, the hidden life. It just disrupts the flow. Verse 10, and you've put on the new person who is renewed in knowledge. See, the new you, the hidden life of you that's hidden with Christ, is just another way of looking at it. It's a fresh vision. It's renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created the new you. So your life, you died, the old you, is hidden with Christ in God. So that will manifest more in your present physical life here on the earth. More and more, the more we're renewed in the knowledge of him who created the new you. So in our little DTS session before, you know, I was just talking about Will, you know. And I said, this is precious to see a kind of Christ in Will. And I was just mentioning an area of his life that's rubbed off on me. Something he was stronger in and more like Christ in, which is something I needed to. So not only do we see the knowledge of the new you in Christ in the Word, but you're going to see it displayed in other people's lives. You know what I'm saying? And so it rubs off on you because you get to behold Christ in that person. And the more we behold Christ, we are being changed from glory, the glory of that, from glory to glory. So I find myself, you know, being more like the Christ in will in me just by beholding Christ in will. Isn't that good? Everybody say, go will. So it's really good. We just, you know, we mentioned that. We were in a meeting today, and we were just talking a little bit about faith. And we're just seeing this image and this stature of Christ in faith. Everybody say, go faith.
Go faith.
I know I can keep going. Don't be mad at me if I don't call your name. Always get in trouble that way, right? So you're like, what about me, you know? Yes. Everybody say, go us.
Go us.
We're going. So look at verse 12. See, it doesn't keep it a secret. Verse 12, when it's talking about being renewed in the knowledge, according to the image of him, verse 12 gives us that. As the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies. Isn't that God? I think it's Micah 6, 8. Not sure. He has showed you, O man or woman, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justly, to act justly. Check this out. To love mercy. You know, sometimes we're just like, I'll let you go. Just go, go. That's not loving mercy. I'll forgive you. You know, so some of the hidden, the finished product is bringing us to the point where we love mercy. How many of y'all need room to grow in that area? You know, so that means I love to forgive because he loves. So there's more of that piece of the puzzle that needs to be forged in my spirit. How about you? Right? So being merciful, he loves mercy. But you know what? The more merciful we are down here, the more mercy you're going to get on your J day. So let's go to James 2, verse, my God, to finish. Goes by so fast up here, doesn't it, Pastor?
Amen.
James chapter 2, verse 12 and 13. So you know, one of the Beatitudes in Matthew 5 is, blessed are the merciful, for they shall what?
Grace.
Obtain, not just here. Because you're going to need it on your judgment seat time. Because we're all going to give an account with what we've done in this body, whether good or bad. There's no condemnation, no punishment, but the loss. There'll be loss, but there's also gain. So on that day, the Bible tells us, God tells us, you're going to need mercy when you stand at the Bema, at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, I'm going to tell you how you can get it. And that's one of the Beatitudes. Blessed are the merciful. So we're going to see some people getting showered with mercy, and we're going to say, they're blessed. And you're going to be very conscious of your past life. We all are. You're going to be able to smell people in torment right now. When the rich man went there, and Lazarus went to Abraham's bosom, they could smell, they can see, they can taste. They can talk and they can hear in their spirit. Your spirit is the real you. So James 2, verse 12, so speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. So if you want to be judged by the law that will liberate you at the judgment seat of Christ, not only here. Let me tell you, when you're forgiven and God gives you mercy here, when you're forgiven, doesn't that liberate you?
Yes,
you're like, I'm forgiven.
Absolutely.
So we need it here. Another way Jesus said it like this, forgive other people their trespasses and your Father will forgive you. If you don't forgive them, you won't be liberated from that sin until you forgive, then you'll be liberated. It's because he gives you mercy. So it counts here, but you're going to need it up there. So speak and so do. That means our the way we speak to people and our actions. So what does mercy sound like when you speak to somebody? Hey, it's like it never happened. I forgive you. Hey, it's all right. It's all good. God's going to work it together for good. You're speaking mercifully. And then your actions, sometimes God might move you. You know, someone's in debt. He might move you to give X amount of dollars to help pay off. Isn't that mercy? Right? So God might move you to do that. But there's acts of mercy. Not just that, it's just being kind to somebody when they don't deserve it, while they're still sinners. So speak and so do as those who would be judged by the law of liberty. For he will have judgment without mercy. Look at that. See, judgment. He will have judgment without mercy to those who have shown no mercy. And mercy triumphs over judgment. Y'all remember that tree that grew up over Jonah after Nineveh and he delivered the message? Remember? It was a shade tree protecting him from the heat of the sun. But he's wishing God would still judge them, and then God calls a worm to eat it, and it lost its shade, and now he's getting the brunt of the heat. So look, when you're sowing mercy, you're growing a shade tree over you. And it will triumph over you at the day of judgment. You will be given a lot of mercy. Amen. I'm going to finish with Ephesians 2:10, because not only in our being, that finished product has to do with our doing. We are his workmanship, created, there's that word, created in Christ Jesus, the new you, the real you, that's created in Christ Jesus. So not only in your being, but in your doing, for good works, which God, check it out, prepared in advance that you should walk in them. So it's a very healthy and it's a mature thing to, like Paul, even in his latter years in a prison, writing a letter to the Christians, and it's called the Book of Philippians, even an older man, he's saying, I press toward the mark for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And one of his aspirations was, Lord, I want to apprehend that for which you apprehended me. He's already walked in 3/4 or 7/8 of it. And he knew the time of his departure was near. And yet he's still saying, Lord, I want to apprehend what's next. Isaiah 64 talked about, through the prophet, the Spirit of God said, no one stirs himself up to take hold of God. See, one of the pitfalls from not becoming in the fullness of our being and in our doing is a lackadaisical attitude, lacking earnestness, a lack of desire. Well, you know, if God shows me, he does. That won't cut it. If God shows me, you know, if God shows up in his service, that's great. You know, and that lackadaisical attitude doesn't bring forth the actions of God. Neither does it propel us into more of the fullness of our being and our doing of that which is hidden with Christ in God. Sin is a pitfall, a lackadaisical attitude, and there's other ones. So lay aside every weight, every sin that easily ensnares us, so that we can run this race in Christ. It's set before us. So I like whoever's going to be up here. Michael on the keyboard, thank you. Father, we just thank you for your word that stirs us up. I thank you, God, that you have stirred up a people. And there are people that are just hungry. They have stirred themselves up, Lord, through the illumination of your word and the help of your spirit to take hold of you, to lay hold of that for which you've apprehended us. Lord, for them themselves in you as members of the body, and Lord, just members of this church, God, the destiny of this church and what you have for it, that you've been visiting us with your glory. God, we just want to thank you that your light is shining brighter, conviction is becoming stronger, repentance is required as it always has been, because you're moving in. You've called us to clean house, to make sure things are ready, because you're going to be walking among us, you said. So we're to cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit to perfect holiness. Well, we know there's many people in the world that are perfecting just different things or different aspirations, earthly things, temporal things. But you're calling us, God, to perfect spiritual things, to make our own call and election sure, to be diligent to be found by you in peace, without spot, blameless. God, I just ask you right now that by the power of your Holy Spirit here with us today, that you are stirring us, you're inspiring us, God, no matter where we are, no matter how much we have already apprehended of you and of our own calling and our destiny, God. Lord, that you're calling us to stir ourselves up, God, even on behalf, God, of the purpose and the destiny of who you've called us to be and what you've called us to do here. Each season, God, we ask you, God, to visit us with a greater intensity, Father, to rise up, to come out of that which is weighing any of us down. God, I ask you for this cloak of zeal to be laid upon us against sin, against a lackadaisical attitude, to become fervent, hot, fervent in love, God, fervent in service to you, fervent in our prayers, God, because you are the answer, you are the solution. We ask for your actions, God, to become more prevalent in our lives. The Lord says to yearn with greater dependency upon him, and you will have more of him in your everyday reality. The more that we yearn in our dependency of him, the more of him we will have in our reality. So God, we ask you for this yearning to be released, because your spirit yearns jealously. God, I ask you now that you will bring about conviction, that your finger will touch areas, God. I ask you for an open heaven, God, with just greater clarity. We don't have to wrestle so hard to read your word. It's just an open heaven, God. A beautiful atmosphere with great clarity, insight, understanding. I just put this call out there. Some of you may just sit and just let God minister you. Think about these things. Reflect on your life that's hidden with Christ. But if you're just really desirous to know, I want to see more of the fullness, either through the word, visions, dreams of your life that's hidden with Christ and God, I just want to open this place because I want to pray for you. Some here, we're just going to ask God to minister through the spirit of encouragement, to give light. But if you want to know and tap into more and to see with your eyes your life that's hidden that he will show that to you. I welcome you to come to the front. And Father, we just thank you for light. Thank you for clarity. That you'll minister to anyone, whether they sit there or whether they come to the front. Thank you for the manifestation of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, the Lord bless and keep you. Make his face to shine upon you.